Morning, and welcome to Sunday School Rally Day here at Zion. It's a busy, busy morning for us. As you see, we have the books out for the, Peggy, do I get this right, preschool through pre-kindergarten through second grade, right? Because preschoolers are three and they come in all times during the year. So it's pre-kindergarten through second grade. And we have two second graders receiving their Bibles today, so that's always an exciting time. But as we begin, let us begin with the singing of our opening hymn, Speak, O Lord, Your Servant Listens.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, August 25th, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Ken Richard. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 589, Speak, O Lord, Your Servant Listens, hymn 589 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Kevin and Linda Ray are sponsoring the flowers on the altar today to the glory of God in memory of Ivan and Elaine Ray and Ed and Judy Spencer. Steve and Donna Sauer are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in thankfulness for all his blessings given to Zion Lutheran Church and Zion Lutheran School.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered together to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness. Confess before God and before one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, Merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good.
The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God.
They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one.
Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon the name of the Lord?
There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous.
You should shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge.
Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, defend your church from all false teaching and error, that your faithful people may confess you to be the only true God and rejoice in your good gifts of life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 29th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. And the vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, who sees us? Who knows? You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay? And the thing made should say of its maker, he did not make me. Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding. Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Ten Commandments, what is the eighth commandment?
You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest possible way.
The epistle reading from Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. There are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained for me is korban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the words of Christ, we confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I would like to ask Mrs. Myers' group, who is singing for us, to please come forward. That is, Mrs. Myers' group, who is singing, please come forward.
And this is the older group of children.
After they're done singing, we'll send them back to sit down, and we'll have the pre-K through second grade, Mrs. Jones's group, come up. At this time, Mrs. Jones's group will come forward to sing. Yes. If you all would just please be seated. If AJ, would you go back with your mom and grandma?
Oh, you're going to give them the presents?
Yes.
Okay, come
here,
AJ.
And Piper, would you please come forward? And I'd like to ask that Quentin and Riley be ready to come forward, and their parents also here in a few minutes. Go ahead and sit down. It's okay, boys, you can sit down. We have for many years now given Sunday school students, early Sunday school students before second grade, gifts to help them and they and their parents in their walk in the Christian faith. And that is what we're going to do this morning for our pre-kindergartners. Let's see here. Piper, can I slide through here? Oh, thank you very much. We have a small catechism set, and this is going to go to William. I saw William. There he is. There's William and Mr. John Brunchen. John. And Samuel and Billy. I saw Billy. Billy? Billy is not up to coming down this morning. That's okay. Billy, this is for you. And for our kindergartners, my first catechism, we have for Cadence. Here, Cadence. There we go. So looking at the wrong Sheely. And Carson. There you go. And then worshiping with angels and archangels. Colt and Bo. Okay, there's one for each of you. And then also for Piper. Piper, there, that is for you. So we thank and are very happy for you that you've continued on in Sunday school and that you'll continue on through Sunday school all the way to your catechism days in 7th and 8th grade, and looking forward to the day when I'll see you in 7th grade catechism class. So we thank you, and I'm going to ask you who will receive those books to head back to your parents' seats right now. So go ahead and head on back. Quentin, I need you to stay, and Riley, I need you to stay, and I'm going to ask Riley's parents and Quentin's parents to please come forward. Dad, I'd like you to hold this. Dad, I'd like you to hold that. Now, as is customary here at Zion, when a student goes into the second grade year, the congregation presents them through their family with Bibles. At baptism, God made us His children, and we promised through our parents to grow in faith in His Word. As parents, we also promise to place the Holy Scriptures into the hands of our children and to help them grow in faith and love for Jesus. And I ask each of you, as parents and children, are you still willing to carry out these promises?
Yes, we are committed to our promise of helping our child grow in faith and love for God and His ways.
Then place the Holy Scriptures into the hands of your child. Help them to read it and grow to love it so that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures may be a blessing in the faith life of your child. And now that you have placed the Scriptures into the hands of your children, go in peace, dedicated to grow in the knowledge of God through His Word. Amen. May the peace of God be with you both, and may you grow in faith and knowledge and love of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. And we now continue with the singing of our hymn, From God Nothing Can Move Me.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 713. From God Can Nothing Move Me, hymn 713 in the Lutheran Service Book.
sermon text this morning from today's epistle reading, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. This mystery is profound, and I am saying it refers to Christ and the church. The words of our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So marriage is a holy and a divine matter. And marriage was instituted in the Garden of Eden at the creation of Eve when Adam said, "This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And then Moses gives the editorial comment, "Thus a man shall leave his father and mother and cling fast unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Marriage is a wonderful mystery, so to speak, uniting what was separated at creation, the man and the rib, and bringing it back together in a one flesh relationship. And marriage also points us to the relationship between Christ and the church that he makes holy. Therefore, marriage is a reflection of the divine interaction of Christ with us, his church, and with all of humanity. Now, every once in a while, I think it's a very good thing to ponder these thoughts, to think about them and dwell on them. And normally with a text like this, we would be examining the husband and wife relationship and seeing how that relationship is designed to work by God. But I was wondering, because I wonder a lot. I think about things. I just ponder them, so to speak. But I was wondering about looking at it from another perspective. That is, seeing our relationship with Christ. So taking that, you know, normally we focus on something else. Now let's focus on our relationship with Christ, but focus on it as a marriage relationship. Okay, so now what do I mean by that? Okay, so it's very clear in the Old Testament that God calls chasing after idols adultery. And so I guess it's very important that each and every one of us consider our words and our actions towards God. And then imagine if our words or actions towards God were done towards our spouse, right? Because, you know, you don't see God, but you see your spouse. And so I was thinking about that and considering that. First off, think about our relationship with Christ and the exclusivity of it. But what if it wasn't so exclusive? Now, I've heard people say, not people from here, but I've heard people say something like this. All religions are different paths to God. He just chooses to reveal himself to different people in different ways. So Jesus is the Savior of Christians through his life, his brutal, bloody death, and his resurrection. And then God had decided to reveal himself to the Hindu as a lives-long progression until you get to eventual oneness with the universal consciousness. And on the other hand, to the Mormon, he would hold out the possibility of perfection, resulting in being the God of your own planet. And the list could go on and on and on and on. Now, I just want, just as an exercise in thinking. Now, husbands, okay, now, husbands, and wives, too, you know, let's think about this for a second, but husbands, I want you to imagine that you had to explain to your wife, now look at your wife, you know, had to explain to your wife that you had three or four other families. Okay. And that you needed to reveal yourself to different people, these different families, in different ways. And then tell your wife, "Well, you can't get mad at me because we're all on the path to love." Well, that would be beyond ludicrous. It would be scandalous and foolishness. And so is the thought that Christ would reveal himself to different people in different ways. Christ's relationship to the church is an exclusive relationship, just like it is in marriage, an exclusive relationship. Jesus is the church's groom. The church is Christ's bride. Okay, so I wanted to take that. Let's go that another step further. Okay, because that was kind of Jesus to us. And imagine how silly that would be if he acted that way towards us. Now I want to, let's see if we can flip that around maybe a little bit. Okay, so ponder this. You're married. Okay. And you say to your spouse, I love you. And you say to your spouse, I love your family very much and very deeply. But you never go to the other side of the family's family gatherings. In fact, you don't do things with the family. And whenever the spouse asks you to be with the family, you turn your spouse down. Now it's going to become very quickly apparent that A, you don't love your spouse, and B, you don't love your spouse's family. You might say that you do, but you really don't. So if you're a member of the body of Christ, that is, you are part of his bride, the church, you are the spouse of Christ and the members of the same Christian family. And you say, I love Jesus. I care deeply about Jesus' family. But you don't show up for any family gatherings. That is worship. And you don't attend the family meals. That is communion. And you don't participate in family things like raising the kids in the church or seeking to evangelize others. Well, that realistically says something, doesn't it? And what if your spouse, whom you are one flesh with, can't respect you but argues with you on everything? On boundaries or your position on finances, what big purchases should be made. If you are ignored in child rearing, then chances are you're not respected by your spouse. Especially if you ask politely and aren't making demands, but you're making requests and you're still ignored. Well, it's a good sign, I imagine, that your relationship is fractured in some way, shape, or form. So if we, as the bride of Christ, as the church, refuse to follow Christ's polite requests, honor your neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself, confess your sins, obey your parents, don't steal, please don't talk bad about others, please respect those in Christ's family. Well, then it's a pretty good chance that we, as the bride of Christ, might not be showing Christ the respect and love that he has earned as our Savior and our God. Sometimes, I think, if we think about it that way, we wouldn't stand that what we wouldn't stand for in our marriages, we find a way to do to Jesus. Because we do have that type of relationship with Jesus. So the idea is our relationship to Christ is reflected in marriage. It's a relationship of voluntary self-subjection. Husband and wife subjecting themselves to one another voluntarily, out of love and devotion and care. And as marriage goes, so too does the church. The church has one head, who is Jesus Christ, to whom the church voluntarily subjects herself to, willingly and joyfully as her normal and natural relationship with Jesus. There is no forcing between the church and Jesus. It's a loving, mutual relationship. An honorable relationship is formed between Christ and his bride, the the church. It is hard to see this Christ and bride-church relationship because of the fall into sin, which has made, let's be blunt, all human relationships crooked. Because we know our relationships are crooked and they're not always the way that they're supposed to be or should be. And all human relationships are a struggle. Eve fell. Adam fell. God's order was subverted and fractured. In the world, wives seek to rule husbands and rebel at the idea of self-subjection. And husbands, on the other hand, often tyrannize their wives to the point of enslavement, and endless troubles and problems result. Yes, marriage is imperfect, but it doesn't make it bad. And we see the glory of the institution of marriage, because it was divinely instituted to reflect the image of the Savior's relationship to the church. And what is that relationship of the Savior to the church? The Savior, Jesus Christ, has a very specific relationship to the church, and it is a relationship of deep and great love. Paul uses the image elsewhere spoken of in Scriptures that Christ is the head of the body, the church, and therefore is one flesh with the church. As the head of the church in both the sense of a leader and in the sense of a head, Christ is both God and Savior of His body, the church. That is, Christians who have become members of His body, the communion of saints, those who are subject to Christ, men and women, both co-heirs of salvation. And the chief proof of Christ's love for the church is what? It's very simply this, that He offered Himself up for the church. He sacrificed Himself for His bride, the church. The work, the doing of Jesus, is the ultimate proof of His love. It's not words only, but it is words and actions that result in our salvation. Jesus has made the church holy. Jesus has applied His holiness to the church through the bath of water connected to the spoken word. Christ consecrated the church for Himself by cleansing each member of the church with the sacrament of holy baptism. And this water is not just plain water, but it is water combined with God's command and included in God's word. And that is what does these things. Jesus does all of this so that He might present the church to Himself, glorious and holy, without stain or without spot. And now as the church, we are waiting for glory, the glory that we see now dimly. We're waiting for that true glory to be made known to us. And we see it dimly, about as dimly as we grasp the idea that the church is a relationship with Christ, just as marriage is a relationship, so too does the church have that relationship with Christ. We see it, but not as well as we should. But when we come to the church in glory, when Christ places His bride by Himself next to His throne, when He places the bride whom He has purchased with His own blood, then we shall see ourselves for what we truly are. For right now, we are the church militant, the church in her warfare. Then we will be the church triumphant, the church in glory. The Father has set up the matter so that we as His people would be conformed to the image of His Son, so that when the Son appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And then, when that happens, the church will be seen as the perfect bride that she is. There's much more that could be said, but for today, let us simply each see our relationship to Christ as we would see a perfect marriage relationship, that we, the members of Christ's own body, willingly submit to Jesus out of reverence and respect and love for Him because of what He has done for us. In that Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, I would invite any of you who are Sunday school staff, Sunday school teachers, or Sunday school superintendents to please come forward. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are to be installed as Sunday school teachers and superintendents and staff here at Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church, a work which our Father in heaven has great joy in. I ask you now to hear the word of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Beloved in the Lord, you are to assist the minister of word and sacrament in this congregation in the instruction of God's people according to his holy word. And you are to prepare yourselves for this work by your individual and corporate study of the Word of God and the faith drawn from it as it has been delivered to us in the small catechism. And while holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to Him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God in this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the position that has been entrusted to you? And do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to His word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Beloved in the Lord, members of Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church, do you promise, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women. Do you as the congregation now promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that He may be glorified and His work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Then, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as Sunday school staff, Sunday school teachers, Sunday school superintendents here at Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your service, that you may be good and faithful leaders and teachers to the glory of His name and to the salvation of His people. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, grant to these your people the gifts of wisdom and discretion, kindness and faithfulness, so that they may effectively teach and guide, and grant to all your faithful people a ready willingness to learn. Let the knowledge of your word be preserved and extended among us, so that all may know and praise you now and forever. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And to you who will serve as teachers, staff, and superintendents, go now in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless you and preserve you. Amen. Please return to your pews. Let us now all rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are known, grant us a true faith that we would honor you not only with our lips, but serve you faithfully with all our heart, our mind, and our strength. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, the holy mystery of our one flesh relationship with you is great, and its totality is beyond our conception this side of heaven. Nevertheless, grant to us that we willingly self-subject ourselves to you, live for you, and honor you, knowing that you care for us in all things, especially our salvation, for which you gave up your life and rose again. Keep us in one holy Christian church, and bring us to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, we pray for all children. All have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and are precious in your sight. Through the work of our Sunday school, bring our children to a knowledge of the truth, that they may know their Savior and trust in him. Give them faithful teachers who will instruct them further in the saving truths of the Bible. Warn them against all wrongdoings and teach them by word and example to live as Christians in this wicked world. Fill their hearts with the true love of your word and prompt them to study it thoroughly. Enable them to honor and obey their parents, teachers, and government, to work and study well, and to develop the use of their talents for you. Dear Savior, keep the children close to you and let none of them perish, bringing them safe to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, in his earthly ministry, your Son healed the sick and comforted the hurting. Grant healing and peace to those who are taking treatments, to the ill or the injured, to the lonely, to those who are imprisoned, to all in need of your prayers, our prayers, including Ron and Reese Voley, Randy Pesch and Linda Aper, as they recover from surgeries, for Millie Cotton, who calls to you for relief, and then we ask that in meekness each hurting heart would obtain fresh joy in your Son and exult in you. Lord, in your mercy. These and all other prayers in your people's hearts and minds, please hear for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You've been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you've just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Please rise. Let us together pray the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, giver and perfecter of our faith, we thank and praise you for continuing among us the preaching of your gospel for our instruction and edification. Send your blessing upon the word which has been spoken to us, and by your Holy Spirit increase our saving knowledge of you, that day by day we may be strengthened in the divine truth and remain steadfast in your grace. Give us strength to fight the good fight and by faith to overcome all the temptations of Satan, the flesh and the world, so that we may finally receive the salvation of our souls. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 822, Alleluia, Let Praises Ring, hymn 822 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. There's quite a bit, a lot in the Zion's Light this morning. The thank you for all of you who attended, helped, and supported the ice cream social. Quite a large amount was raised for the Volley family, which will be donated to them to help with their expenses due to their son's illness. Garage sale. 9 to 1 is still going on in the back of the church. So if you want to go check out some of the things that are, were in the white garage back there and are just kind of for sale, inexpensively, I might add. Check those out and see there's chairs, desks, and whatnot back there. All kinds of other things. Oh, one other thing. There is a note in here about the Life Banquet, and that's on the last page. Page 15 down at the bottom. If you're interested in the Life Banquet, please contact Patty Clem on attending the Life Banquet and get information from her about that. And so may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
Keep Berman away from that money.